Good morning. Did somebody say it's a beautiful day outside? It sure is. I was doing my chores this morning in a t-shirt on November 3rd. That's pretty amazing. I remember doing chores in some really cold weather in 1st of November, so it's nice to be able to act like it's summer even though it's fall. So, well, let's pray and then we'll get into this. Father, we thank you again for another day, your day, that we can come together and just praise you, elevate your name, set ourselves aside today, and just give you the praise and the attention that you deserve from us, Lord. We thank you that we have a place that we can meet. We thank you that we can do it in freedom. We just ask, God, that you minister comfort and peace to those that are meeting on your day in secret and hiding from the situations that they may be in their various countries. So, Lord, we thank you for the blessing that we have here in this country to worship you freely. So we just ask that you help us to never take that for granted. Lord, we just ask that you come be with us today and that your word would continue to fan the flames of your love in our hearts so that we could share your kingdom and glorify you as we leave here today. So again, Lord, we love you. We thank you and just want to give you now our time and our attention. So we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read this card to you guys. Thank you. Thank you. It says, Pastor, in you God gave a guide who would not lead us, who would lead us in his ways. In you he gave a teacher who would remind us of his truth. In you he gave a servant who would share with us his love. In you God gave us so many wonderful blessings. Thank you. So appreciate you guys. And on that same note, you know, you guys know that I'm particularly rebellious and resistant. I'd like to say that God made me that way, but it's probably more my flesh and human nature than anything else. But years ago, actually 2011, when God started to pull my head out of a really dark place. I said that nicely, Misty. I did. He used other believers to help me start to see, I guess, a calling, even though I'm still resistant to that. So I don't know, that probably doesn't make sense to anybody, but this isn't something that I sought to do or necessarily always want to do, but it's a calling. And so I've learned over the years just that I have to be obedient so I guess in that regard, it's just humbling to think that so many years later that he still wants me to do this. So anyway, thank you for having me. And you know, it's not just pastor appreciation to me. Is I say thank you, but there's so many people here that this couldn't happen without. You know, Gary is a constant prayer support, and if you need something, Gary's there. I appreciate you, Randy. Stepped in ways that he didn't want to, you know. But I'm watching Randy grow into this being an elder, and he's always been a natural deacon. And of course Terry serving as well. And you know, my wife usually is pushing me out the door and pushing me forward as well. And I know we couldn't do what we do. I guess John couldn't have done what we have done without our wives being a constant support and help. And there's just so many of you. You know, when we go to do VBS, it was all in. Everybody in here was involved in one way or another. So I just, it's not just about pastors, it's about the body of Christ, okay? That's one gifting, but, you know, we don't want to elevate a pastor above any member of the body of Christ ever. So thank you, Bridget. Good grief. I'm not sure how we would, well, we'd pay Bridget for everything she does in here. You know, it's just a lot. She keeps the place humming. Little Aaron is a constant. He's a constant. I don't know how else to put that. He's a, just appreciate little Aaron's brotherhood, friendship, his attention to the word. He inspires me to want to continue to memorize scripture and learn. And I'm just so thankful for him. And, you know, the folks that are involved in discipleship, you know, there's a number of you. And those that probably I've discipled along the way. And I see, like, those relationships aren't as day-to-day as they once were, but that's how it's meant to be. You turn a disciple over to go make disciples, you know, so I see that in Dan. He's out there at work making disciples. And so that's encouraging. So that couldn't happen with just the efforts of one person. That's the body of Christ, and we have to work together in that regard. So thank you, guys, all right? Next item before I start preaching at you is we were going to take a vote today on membership in, well, we're not going to because we can't, because our constitution says we can't, or our bylaws, actually our constitution says we can't, our bylaws agree with that. So elections committee is going to have to work through a few little bugs, but we'll still have an election and all that. We'll just have to do it according to the constitution. That's why we have it. So there you go. We'll work through that, okay? All right. So getting back into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I might have made a promise in saying I would get through this chapter in 2 weeks, but I'd lied. Not intentionally. But we're going to get through two verses today, 9 and 10. I have 9 through 12 on your paper because I've wrote ahead a little bit farther, but because of communion, I don't want to preach too long. But this goes along with communion very well today. So a couple weeks ago, when we got started in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, we learned that this chapter is about how to please the Father. And specifically in 1 through 8, we learned that walking in holiness is one of the ways we please the Father. So in order to walk in holiness, or as a result of walking in holiness, to walk in holiness, we walk in holiness to please God, because as believers, we want to please God. We walk in holiness because one of the other ways that we walk in holiness is to obey God. And then we also walk in a holiness to escape the judgment of God. Now, as believers, let me clarify that, we have already escaped the final judgment of God, but there is conditions that go along with continued sin that is still judgment from God. And so living holy, if we strive to rid our lives of sin, we are escaping those temporal effects of sin, the consequences of sin that are judgment of God, okay? So those are the ways that we walk in holiness according, so that we can please God, all right? So let's move forward here, verse 9, chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. Now concerning love of the brothers, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brothers who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to excel still more and to make it your ambition and to lead a quiet life and attend your own business and work with your hands just as we commanded you, so that you will walk properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. So what we see here is Paul, again, he's wanting to talk to them about the love of the brothers. This is a brotherly love. And he says, we don't need to write to you about it. You guys got this down. You're doing it. You're doing it because you were taught by God and how to love one another. And he was commending them for how they loved all the brothers throughout the whole region, the area of Macedonia. But yet he was encouraging them to excel still more. So what he's talking about here is another way that we please the Father, another way that we aim to please the Father is to walk in harmony, okay, amongst each other, amongst the brotherhood. So we walk in harmony. That by walking in harmony, by walking in love, we ultimately please God. So the chapter made a change from holiness now to being the focus to love being the focus. So we transition from holiness to love, and those two might at the first glance seem like they're unrelated, but they are. You have to have one. Can't have one without the other. So just as God's love is a holy love, so our love for God and for one another is motivated by holy living. The more we live like God in holiness, the more we will love one another. The more we live like God in holiness, the more we'll have the ambition, the tools, the capacity to love one another like God loves us. So if I love my brother, I'm not going to want to sin against him. Okay? If I truly love my brother, if I'm loving God and I'm truly loving my brother, I'm not going to want to sin against him. And so that is that picture there is holiness, the holiness motivated by love. So as we go through this today, we're talking about there's two different kinds of love that we're talking about. There's phileo and there's agape love. And I'm not going to get into that real big, but there's four words in the Greek language used for love. So just quickly, the first one is eros. You've probably heard this before. This has to do with physical love. The English language gets their word erotic from this Greek word eros, and it's not necessarily sinful. It certainly can be. But this word eros is not used in the New Testament. The next word that I'm going to introduce you to here, also not used in the New Testament, but there's a word closely related to it that is this storge, and that is a type of love that has to do with our family, like the parents' love for the child, parents' love for their child, grandchildren, that kind of a thing. But that's not used in the New Testament either, and it's closely related to a word used in Romans 12:10, meaning tender or kindly affectionate toward another. Okay, but that's usually used in a family type situation. So what we're going to be talking about today, largely, is agape love and phileo love. So agape love is the love that God shows us, the love that God shows for us. It's not based on feelings. It's a love that prefers, when it's acted out, when it's worked out among believers, it's a love that prefers others over oneself. So it's sort of a sacrificial love. Some would call it an unconditional love. Someone would say that unconditional love isn't really a thing, the unconditional love of God, but we're not going to get into all that discussion today. But agape love is God's love toward us, okay? It's his gracious love toward us, and it's a love that we receive through faith in him. So the other kind of love is the love one another that's mentioned here in verse 9 is the phileo love, and that is a love of deep affection. So this is like a friendship, or even talking about the marriage type of love. So that phrase for the love of the brothers is translated out as Philadelphia. So you guys know the city of Philadelphia is called the city of brotherly love. So that means brotherly love. So if you break down that Greek word Philadelphia, philos means a loving friend. Okay, it's a loving friend. And then the Delphus, or the Delphia part, is Delphus, is the root word, means brother. So a loving friend that is a brother. So it's brotherly love. Okay, so Paul is saying that here that now concerning the love of the brothers, you have no need of anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. So loving one another. Because Christians have the same Father, and because Christians belong to the same family, Christians should love one another. Okay, here Paul is reminding this church in Thessalonica where that love comes from. That love comes from God. 1 John 4:8. The last part of it, part B of that verse, is God is love. Okay? God is love. And God placed in each one of us, in each believer, the anointing from God to love one another. Now, that anointing is that unction, or that inner persuasion of the Holy Spirit for us to love another person. Okay? God put that in us. And so, as His children and as His family, this is something that He put in us so that we do love one another, and we can love one another, right? 1 John 2:27 describes this a little bit. He says, and as for you, the anointing whom you received from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, just as He has taught you, abide in Him. So God has given us this anointing, His love, this inner desire, this inner persuasion by the Holy Spirit being residing in each believer to love. And that love is from Him. Okay? So point number two here. God, the Father, is the one who taught us to love one another. So God, the Father, taught us to love one another. Now, He did this when He gave Jesus to die for us on the cross. If we think about that, that was the most loving act that God has shown us. But in that act, He also taught us how we're going to love one another in the body of Christ. Okay, I'm going to turn to 1 John just in case I have to read more here. 1 John chapter 4. Starting in 10. 1 John 4, 10. So God, He says, In this is love, not that we have loved God. See, we as humans sometimes think that love generates within us. And without God, we have no love because He is love. So this helps us to remind us that we don't experience this agape love, even this brotherly love, outside of a relationship with God. Okay? In this is love, not that we have loved God. God taught us how to love Him. He taught us how to love each other. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation. What's the propitiation? The atonement? The the appeasement for our sin, okay? He sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We also ought to love one another. Now, this is agape love. This is the way God loves us. And so this is pointing to a sacrificial love. He put himself in our place to pay the penalty for our sin. Sacrificially. So he loved us. But he also used that to teach us how we're to love one another. And that's sacrificially. Sacrificially. We're supposed to give each other our time, of our resources, of our in many different ways. Prayer, our physical goods, our time and attention. So sacrificially. Point number three, God the Son taught us to love one another by commandment. So if we go to John, Gospel of John, chapter 13, we see that Jesus, the Son of God, taught us to love one another by commandment. This is John 13. 34. A new commandment I will give to you, that you love one another. There's the commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Now, how did Jesus love us? By sacrifice, by giving himself for us, by preferring us over himself. Do you see that? The agape love. He preferred our good over his human experience of comfort and ease. So he preferred us over himself. Even as I have loved you, that you also would love one another. So he's saying, just how I loved you, you should love one another. Now this has a purpose, not only to grow a bond, not so that we would have that strong brotherly love and affection for one another, but also because others are watching. Also, so that the kingdom will grow, right? So, if you read verse 35, he says, By this, all will know that you are my disciples. All will know that you are my followers. All will know that you listen to my commandments, that you are my friend, that you love me if you have love for one another. So, this is a witnessing tool that the outside world uses that the outside world gets to see, that God uses, that the outside world gets to see, that will draw them to the authentic love of God. And he does it through us. He does it through brotherly love that is displayed in the church of God. Okay? That's the purpose, the ultimate purpose of it. For our bonding, for our strength together, but also that those that are outside of the kingdom of God, those that are outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, would be drawn in by his agape love. All right? That's a willing love. That's a love that we willingly give to each other. All right? So that you would love one another even as I have loved you, that you also would love one another. All right. Then the fourth point. God the Holy Spirit taught us to love one another by indwelling us. Okay? So we know that when we become a believer, when we receive Christ, that the Holy Spirit indwells each believer. Okay? Romans chapter 5. Let's go read that. Not the whole chapter. Just a couple verses, okay? Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. This is what happens when we receive Christ. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we don't justify ourselves by our good works. We don't justify ourselves by loving one another. You hear what I'm saying? We don't justify ourselves by doing good works toward one another. We talked about this a little bit Wednesday night, as Abraham's righteousness was accounted to him by faith. That was an act of faith, believing God at face value for what he said. So here again, Romans is repeating that. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we are justified by our faith in the work that Christ did on the cross. Okay, it's not our acts of brotherly love toward one another that justifies us. Okay, we act with loving kindness toward one another, with brotherly affection toward one another because of what Jesus did, because he justified us. Okay, so therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we boast in hope of the glory of God, and not only this, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not put to shame, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the Holy Spirit teaches us how to love by pouring out the love of God into our hearts. So this is something that we learn as we persevere through things. Okay? Persevere through affliction. And that affliction looks different for all of us. You know, we have brothers and sisters in other countries that are being afflicted for their faith daily, you know, running for their lives, hiding, memorizing scripture because they're not allowed to have a Bible. They're afflicted. But the Holy Spirit pours the love of God in them, and they continue to propagate the kingdom of God because of the love that the Holy Spirit pours into them. So the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Next point here is the church in Thessalonica wasn't being reprimanded. Okay, this was an encouragement. They weren't being reprimanded for a lack of love. Paul didn't even have to mention their brotherly love, as he mentioned in the letter there. He didn't have to even exhort them to love. What he was doing was urging them to excel still more in the love that they had, that was visible by Timothy, that was being reported through the whole region of Macedonia. He was urging them to excel still more. So the word urge here is, we've heard this before, is parakaleo, and that has two parts again. That means come alongside. The para is come alongside, and the kaleo is to call. So what Paul was doing here was making a personal call for them to excel in their love toward one another because it was having an impact on the region for the kingdom of God. Their love for one another, their love for the whole church, not just right there in Thessalonica, but in the region of Macedonia, was having that big, that massive impact. God was being glorified, and people were coming to faith in Christ as a result of their love. And so he was making that personal call to them to excel still more. The word excel here is parasuo. I think that's the way you pronounce it, parasuo, which means to go above and beyond the expected measure. Now think about that for a second. We have all kinds of expectations of how we want to be loved, right? Or behaviors of people toward us. But to go above and beyond what is expected, that is the draw. That is, they go above what is necessary. They go above what is expected. And that is the draw that the Holy Spirit uses on people from the outside. They see a love that they've never seen before. It's a pure love. It's an authentic love. It's a love that can't be explained in human terms. But they see it, and they come. They come toward it because it goes above and beyond. That brings me back to Romans. This is an act of the Holy Spirit. This brings me back to Romans 5:5. So I want to pay attention to how we receive the love of God through the Holy Spirit. It was poured out. It was poured out. Okay? Not measured. We measure our love. Humans measure our love. You know, you love me this much. You did this for me. You didn't do this much for me. That kind of a thing. We keep measurements. This love wasn't measured, but it was poured out, not measured. It was dumped full strength. Imagine a pitcher. You're trying to fill a little glass in a pitcher, okay? Dumping. It's overflowing. There's no measuring going on. It's dumped out. The whole full measure of God's love is dumped into our hearts. Full strength, full volume into our hearts. And that is the wellspring of love that we have to offer to each other. His love is overwhelming. His love is uncontainable. It can't be contained in our hearts. If it were just to fill us up, it would be enough for us. But it's such a full measure. It's so full of power that we can't help but share it with people around us. Full strength, full volume, uncontainable, overwhelming. And that's how it has to be with us when we are loving one another. And who has ever received too much love? Think about it, you know. Can we really receive too much of God's love? It's something a lot of times that we don't understand when we start to get it. But the more I get, the more I want. The more I need. The more I need. And finally, if you go back to John chapter 15, Jesus leaves us with his example of brotherly love. John chapter 15. This is where we start to see brotherly love transform from that affection to that benevolent regarding someone with more regarding them with as better than us, as preferring them more than us. Okay, it starts to move from just an affection, a fondness, to that deep agape love that God loves us with. Jesus leaves us with this example of his brotherly love toward his disciples. John 15, 12 through 14. He says, "This is my commandment." Again, he's commanding this, just like he did in 13, "that you love one another just as I have loved you." And then here's where it gets a little more real, a little more deep. "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. This is Jesus doing this, and we can't lay our lives on the cross for the sins of our brothers and sisters. We can't do that, but we can lay our lives down in other ways and to serve them, to care for them, to help them. "Greater love is no one than this, than to lay his life down for his friends." And then he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. You are my friends if you do what I command you." And, you know, we know the lengths that his disciples went to in their love for Jesus. There wasn't no if in that friendship equation with the disciples. They did it, okay? They went out and prove they were his friends because they did what he commanded you. The response of that brotherly love was a response to go out and give their lives for their Savior. Okay? And each one of them did that. Each one of them did that. And we wouldn't be here today had they not obeyed his commandments, had they not proven themselves to be his friend, his brothers. Okay? I was going to share with you quickly that probably one of the reasons that I'm here today is that kind of a brotherly agape, putting yourself and preferring someone else over yourself love that I experienced a number of years ago in a friend of mine who's no longer with us, but who's a brother in Christ, and just a great friend. And anyway, you know, during a time I was afflicted, right? I was under my dad had passed, and here my friend Derek, his real name is Derek Scott. I called him Scott or Scooter, but massive man, massive, scary guy, very scary, and just gentle as can be. Most of the time, he was always gentle, and unless he needed to be not gentle. But anyway, he was just a good friend. And so when my dad passed, he came from Troy. You know, we lived in Rockford. Mom and Dad lived in Rockford, so we're up there for the funeral. And Scott came from Troy to sit for 4 days with our family. Who he didn't know. He didn't know. He knew. He met my dad and mom, but he didn't know them. He wasn't close with them. But he came and he sat with us. He held our children while we tended to the funeral. You know, and that might not seem like a whole lot to at first glance that somebody would do that, because we always go and try and pay respect to people we love when their loved one passes away, you know. But he come and stayed. He come and took care of our children, you know, entertained them. They were all little. But he did that. The way he did that, that preferred me or our family over himself, was that he was going through his own mess of affliction. He was going through his own hell at the time. His wife had left him. He had lost his job. He was struggling mentally, severely, and he dropped everything to come to our aid. And to me, that just was like, I'll just never forget how he put that preferential love into practice for me, you know. And as he went and passed away, you know, a few years later, That was difficult, and I, you know, 100% I'm assured that he's in heaven with Christ, no doubts. But that made me want to love people how he loved me. That had such an impact on me, honestly. And so no matter what's going on around me, you know, That is always the Holy Spirit uses that. The Holy Spirit uses that, is that love was poured out of Scott onto me and onto our family. It's just always stuck in my head that I want to do the same for people to the best of my ability, you know. And I know I fail at that a lot, but still, it's something that is stuck in my brain. It's something that's gone with me here for another, I don't know, 13 years or so since he's been gone, but 15 since my dad's gone too. But anyway, brotherly love. And Paul says, excel still more. You know, this isn't something we have to do on our own. This is something that we do by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's been given to each one who has received Christ. That power is in us. That love is in us. We just need to let it flow out, let it come out, right? And continue to put others in front of ourselves. So today, in light of God's richness and mercy, you know, this always just stops me to think that God's given me mercy. It still just floors me that God's given me mercy, and He's not just given me mercy once, but it's a richness, it's an abundance of mercy that he's shown us as sinners, and it's because of His great love with which He loved us. This is Ephesians chapter 2. It's because of His great love with which He loved us, and you know, even when we were dead in our transgressions, even before we knew anything about Him, we're dead, we can't respond, He made us alive together in Christ. You know, by grace we've been saved through faith. He extended mercy, rich mercy. He extended grace to us because of this great, overwhelming, unmeasurable love that He's given to us. Because of that love, He sent His Son Jesus to the earth, okay, to take our sin upon Him, dying the death that was meant for us. And He calls us friend, even though we're sinners, you know. He calls us friend, He calls us brother, He calls us sister, we're family. And that display of that no greater love with which He loved us, you know, we have the privilege today to come to the Lord's table and remember just how deeply loved we are to be forgiven of our sin, for our sin to be blotted out. The stain's gone. Been washed whiter than snow. Purified, justified, perfect, as if we're perfect. So today, I guess, my prayer for us, my hope for us is that we may respond to His love by also giving on our lives in service to one another, and also to those that are outside of the family of God. So having said that, as we take communion today, keep this in mind, you know, that we're remembering not just how we take communion but it's this overwhelming love that we've been loved with. Okay? Let's remember that today as we take communion, all right? So, elders, if you'd come forward, we'll go ahead and